Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you believe that your male friendships or your female friendships are important, then do you start that relationship off knowing that I can't be with somebody who says, nah, when you get in a relationship with me, you can't have male or female friends?
Gosh. Oh, my God. This is so. Okay. Let's back up.
Let's back up.
First of all, no, you're not going to get any new friends of the opposite sex.
Okay, new friends.
Okay, so we're not going to, let's not even play that game. Oh, I just met this person at work. I think they're really cool. Nah.
I'm on a journey to discover, uncover, and recover love. Now, as a national playwright, I've penned dozens of shows about relationships. As a filmmaker, I've documented the most beautiful committal of lovers at weddings. And as a divorcee, I know firsthand the brevity of marriage and the pain of its loss. I'm LaTerrisaw Whitfield, and welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast.
Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. I'm your host, LaTerrisaw Whitfield.
I'm your co-host. Okay.
No, you're not the co-host, Jay. Can you just wait for your introduction?
Okay, sorry.
Okay. God, you can't take people nowhere. She's a nationally syndicated morning radio co-host. She's a motivational speaker.
Jay, can you wait
for your intro?
Okay.
I'm trying to give you an official... You know,
so professional.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a professional.
Okay, let me get serious. I'm sorry, LaTerris, it's you.
Okay, get serious. Okay, this is a very classy show. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
She's a nationally syndicated radio, a morning radio co-host. She's a motivational speaker. She loves giving back to the community. She's a founder of the nonprofit organization Project 16
that
focuses on empowering the youth. I've worked with this organization, and she does some amazing work. Jay, I need you to behave yourself, all right?
Okay.
She's a social media influencer. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast, my homie, Jay. Should I call you Lady Jay?
Oh, it don't matter.
I'll call you Jade.
Yeah. Like, my friends call me Jade.
All right.
You already know.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to mess with LaTerrisaw at the beginning because one of the things I love to do is get on his nerves.
Why you like getting on my nerves?
Well, you know. Y'all, LaTerrisaw, I'm about to spill the beans. I don't even know what we're supposed to talk about today. I'm about to spill the beans because he wants to be so professional and so, you know. If y'all listen to his voicemail, anybody that has his number, LaTerrisaw has poetry. I'd be like, you are doing the absolute most. He's like, I know I can't reach your call, but God so loved the world that if roses are red and violets are blue, you know that I love you. I'm like, LaTerrisaw, yes, you do.
No, I don't.
LaTerrisaw is my extra friend, okay? Everything is super extra. We can go outside right now and he'll see like a bird and he'll be like, that is a sign of love. You be like, so this is why I love that you're doing this podcast, honestly, LaTerrisaw, because this is so you. Dear Future Wifey, ladies, he is one of the few men on earth that is literally looking everywhere, grocery stores, gas stations, the barbershop, anywhere for a wifey, okay?
No,
okay. He is so into it.
Jay.
Huh? This is not your show.
You're over here interviewing me. It's time for you to sit on the other side and be interviewed.
I apologize. You're right.
So, Jay, so we've been friends how many years?
Over
10, 15 years?
Yeah, at least.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And we've both been through marriages and we've both been divorced.
Dang.
Yeah, we just going to just put that on there. Yeah. So the thing about it, I feel like you have a database of experience as it comes to relationships, love gain, love loss. And so that's the reason why I wanted you on the Dear Future Wifey Podcast, for you to give your insight and input. And you just keep it real. So that's what I've always loved about you, is you just keep it lit. Now, on the Dear Future Wifey Podcast, we coined the acronym LIT for living intentionally and transparently. So can we get you to be transparent?
Absolutely. I don't know any other way.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, gotcha. So today's episode, we're going to talk about when you're in a relationship, can you still have platonic friends, whether you're dating in that relationship or whether you're married? So what do you think about that? Have you ever experienced that where, first of all, let me ask you your point of view. Do you think that you should be able to have friends while you're in a relationship?
Yes.
Of the opposite sex.
Okay. I am going to say yes, but yes within boundaries.
Okay.
And where there is some respect. Okay. We can talk about this forever. All right. First of all, let's be clear. When you're in a relationship, I believe that you should be best friends with the person you're in the relationship with.
100%.
But I do not believe that they are to be your only friend.
Yes.
I believe that you can have platonic relationships of the opposite sex as long as there are some very clear boundaries that are set. Okay.
Let's talk about those boundaries.
Golly, this is not a blanket answer.
It's a whole podcast, so we can talk.
The reason why it's not is because, number one, it all depends on who you marry or who you're in a relationship with. Everybody is different. You have men and you have women that are in relationships that are very respectful,
right,
of boundaries and the feelings of their a significant other.
Yes.
And you just kind of know that they would stay within those lines of respect within the relationship.
And honor you in that friendship.
Yes. But then you also know, and people are in denial about who they're in a relationship with. And I have been in denial before too. And when I say in denial, I knew you really wasn't like all the way A1. I knew you had some trifling tendencies.
Right.
But at the same time, I tried to convince myself like, like you would never do that to me. Or a lot of times what people try to do is start playing that card of, are you just being insecure?
Yes. Yes.
Now I'm just being realistic about who I'm in a relationship with.
But judging by your track record.
But I can't tell you, because I'm in a relationship with you, I can't say, I know that you have trifling tendencies, right? So why can't you say that?
Why can't you tell, like, being transparent and honest with your significant other, why can't you just say, hey, listen, let's keep it real. You know, every girl you've been with before me, you cheated on, and it was somebody that you called a friend.
Because I'm going to tell you what the response is going to be. Yeah, but they're not you, and you know I'm not like that anymore.
That was good. You've been there before.
Huh? I've been there before. Listen, I am reliving my past right now. Also, they'll say, oh, you're throwing my past in my face.
Yeah.
They'll say things like, I just think that there are certain things you shouldn't say to your significant other because there are certain words you can never take back. And once they feel you've labeled them in a negative way, it's a wrap after that. You know what I mean? And so here we go again with the whole, this is why relationships are so hard. I don't know why we stay in those relationships where we think that those things can happen to us. And I think that it can happen to anybody. Don't get it twisted. But we see red flags up front and we stick with the red flags. And I cannot, for the life of me, understand why.
Because it's something that we desire. We think we have this propensity to feel like we can change somebody.
Yeah.
If we really get down to it, we feel like our love can change them, our words can change them, our presence can change them. We can love them past their insecurity.
Right.
And that's what I want to discuss, is that going into a relationship, do you make the decision to say, listen, I have to be with somebody where, if you believe that your male friendships or your female friendships are important, then do you start that relationship off knowing that I can't be with somebody who says, nah, when you get in a relationship with me, you can't have male or female friends?
Gosh. Oh my God. This is so, okay. Let's back up.
All right, let's back up.
First of all, no, you're not going to get any new friends of the opposite sex.
Okay, new friends.
Okay, so let's not even play that game. Oh, I just met this person at work. I think they're really cool. Nah,
okay.
we good on all that.
All right.
You do have those certain type of friendships where y'all have literally been like brother and sister since like the second or third grade.
Right.
Right?
So that's okay. No, you got to say what you want. You got to say.
No, listen, what is it listen. I'm saying, but see, because I've even known those relationships to cross the lines. When there is a weak moment within the relationship, then the friendship ends up crossing the line. So it's kind of hard. But being realistic, there's no way to say you can't have a friend of the opposite sex.
There it is. That's my point.
No, okay. Let's be clear, and I don't mean to put you on blast, Latarius.
Okay,
you have a lot of female friends. Like, Latarius is the guy that all the girls call for relationship advice, for, and I have witnessed it. I have called. And Latarius has a lot of beautiful women in his life because of the work that you do. And you don't just, like, you're not just, like, cool with them. You're just, like, you're really cool with them.
What does that mean, Jay? How you really cool with them?
Like, you know more about their life than probably their significant other. And I'm sure there are a lot of guys that want to beat you up.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But you know what? When they get in a relationship, I don't talk to girls like that. So once I find them in a relationship, I back off. I just don't communicate. It's girls I know right now that were real cool, and they got in a relationship, and they said, well, but I can still talk. We can still talk. I said, no. I said, I want you to hold that place sacred. Now, do I just cut them off totally? No. I still communicate with them, but I
within
make sure
boundaries.
There it is.
Okay, but see, you set that level of, that's crazy. You were the one that set the boundary for their relationship.
Right.
Because you're a respectful person.
Because again, I don't want to be on the street and get punched in my face.
That would hurt.
Yeah. Minding my own business. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? The dude hit me in the face. And I'm like, hold on, what just happened? No, I saw a missed call from you yesterday. And it's like,
were you up on the phone with my girl till midnight?
Yeah. Then check the record. And it's like, no, I always try to be respectful for the dude. If she's around him, I'll say, hey, tell so-and-so by name, tell him I said, what's up? I want to hear her verbally say that to him. And there's been times where some of my homegirls have actually put me on the phone with their significant others, and I've actually counseled them in relationships.
Okay.
So it's like, I try to keep, cause I really do want love to flourish from every perspective, and I ain't gonna never dump on a dude ever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So my whole situation is that, and in the times, and I talk about this in my podcast, but in the time that I actually, well, I ain't gonna talk about that. I never even mentioned that whole story. But
what?
But no, nah, it's gonna talk about a conversation that I had with in a time where I actually slept with a married woman, and I apologized to her husband.
I'm about to go. Excuse me?
Yes. That
he
is
found out, or you're the one?
No,
that
I told him.
News.
He never knew. He never knew. It was after they actually divorced. So it was after the divorce, and me and him talked, and we talked.
Why?
And we
Why did together. You feel at that time you need?
Oh, because it was a level. It
hold
was,
up. Did y'all divorce? Did they divorce because y'all slept together?
No.
And he did not know.
No.
Why would you see? This is okay. So I'm going. Everything I just said is a lie. This is why. You can't. Why would you be the one if she didn't choose to disclose that to her husband? They are divorced now. You just made this woman who was supposed to be a friend of yours, and you crossed the
she
line.
Wasn't
with
no
her.
Friend. It was a whole situationship.
Oh, okay. So she was trifling.
Yeah.
Okay. So never mind. But why would you choose? Oh my God, Latarius.
Because it was in the point of brokenness. It was, you know what? And to be honest, to do that stuff, I would never go talk to a guy. But it was, I literally, God told me to do that, and I literally went and talked to him. And when I tell you, it was the most beautiful situation I've ever had with a man.
Yeah, for you, but not
no,
with
for him.
Him.
Yes,
I mean,
he
not,
was.
Not, I'm talking about not for her.
Wait, when they was divorced, he didn't care. He said
and
she's
you
always
didn't care
cheating
either.
On him. Well, it wasn't nothing new.
Latarius.
She always cheated. It was what I needed to do to talk to the brother and tell him, hey, this is what it is. And he was like, you know what? I've always felt XYZ. We talked about it. We chopped it up. It was great. We prayed together. I encouraged him. It was great. When I tell you, it was nothing but, because I ain't finna be talking to no dude about no stuff like that. But
did you
God
know this
told
man?
Me to do that.
Did you know this man?
Yes, I knew him.
And so y'all would come into contact with one another every once in a while, and you knew that you had slept with his wife?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you straight.
Every time he came around, I just walk around. I walked to the...
You were trifling.
Yeah, I was very trifling.
Well, Latarius is trifling. Okay, so let's get back on the topic, because we can talk about that all day, too. Because Latarius... Okay, anyways. Okay.
Hey, that was a long time ago.
So my question to you is, when you get into a relationship, do you cut off your female friends because you have a lot of them?
I put boundaries up.
What are your boundaries? Because I think that boundaries can be subjective.
I put boundaries. It's an actual discussion that I have with my significant other to say, hey, listen, you know, I have female friends. Let's talk about it. I'm gonna tell you what my boundaries are, and then you tell me what you want to add to those boundaries. The first boundary is I never discuss or uncover my significant other with that friend. So whatever me and my wife or girlfriend are going through, that woman will never know about it.
Okay, that is a good boundary, because that is a problem. Is when you have friends of the opposite sex, when you start to disclose your relationship issues with them, now you're opening up a whole Pandora's box.
Yes.
Because when emotions start getting involved, they start being the shoulder to lean on.
There it is.
How many times in life has that quote unquote shoulder to lean on
begin to be the body you lay on?
Oh, hello.
Come on, somebody.
Oh, hello. You preached out.
I've been there. I'm telling you. I talked about that in a previous episode.
So that is definitely rule number one.
Yes.
Okay. What's another boundary?
The other one is, of course, the time limit. You don't call people after whatever respected hours. It may say 10 o'clock, may say 9 o'clock, whatever that is. That's whatever.
So then a lot of times what they end up doing is talking to them on the whole drive home. Okay. I'm just saying.
Are you testifying?
That has happened before. Yes. Come to find out. Let me tell you about a situation why this is. I hope to one day be in a relationship where I truly trust that person enough to have that female or two, that friendship of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And I'm secure with it.
Yes.
The reality is we all deal with insecurities, right?
And then depending who you deal with brings those insecurities even out to the forefront and make it even intensified.
Absolutely. I would want that. And I would want that opposite. I actually had a really, really, really great guy friend when he got married. And when I tell you, like, he and I are not each other's types at all. We've always been super close. And I'm going to say we are not each other's types.
I'm going to say that again.
Yeah. But when he got married, I think that there was an issue. And I never knew why, because I never really came around like that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so out of respect, you know, he and I were no longer friends. But I'm not going to lie, that one hurt me, because I'm like, dang, that was my dog. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying? So, but I would never disrespect anybody's relationship in that way. On the opposite side, I was in a relationship, and a guy that I was dating, this is many years ago, he had a female best friend. And I'm not even going to lie, I just wasn't with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't because she's a woman. You just kind of get this intuition. It's like, hold up. I walk in the, you know, to come see you, and...
And she was there?
No, but you all up on the phone, and I'm like, okay, now y'all kicking a little bit too much. That was number one.
Okay, was the friend in the relationship?
Was she in a relationship?
Because that does make it feel a little bit better.
I don't know. I know the friend had a child, and the guy I was dating was the godfather of the child.
Okay.
You know.
And how'd you feel about that?
I was okay with that. But to me, that just... It was almost like dealing with a man that had a child. Yes. It was, that is always going to be the thing of, so man, her child is my godchild. You get what I'm saying? So that was always like the reasoning to be talking and checking up on the child and this and that. Right. And I was young.
So he was really involved in the child's
God. In a sense. And his family knew this particular person. And so, like, you know, when he would have activities, you know, the best friend would be there.
Oh, so she was a family friend. So she was involved from a higher level, like the whole family.
But don't get it twisted. I mean, they weren't like childhood friends. This is like something that developed over the last 5 years through school and stuff or whatever. Yeah. So, yes, the whole family knew or whatever. So I didn't want to be the one to make it a big deal, but I just always
felt uncomfortable.
And we would have little fights, but not big fights. I'd be like, come on now. Like, and he just did not get it. But again, knowing who you're dating. Okay. Yeah. Fast forward. After we had split up, I want to say like a couple of years later, him and his best friend ended up having a child together.
I was hoping you wasn't going to say that.
And it just kind of
confirmed why you were so insecure about the situation.
Yeah. And what's crazy is it might not have even been anything then, but when you go and that happens later on and now you guys have a child, then it goes back to other women's inclination of, were you just waiting in the cut? You know, and I like this girl. To this day, I really like this girl. And we don't have problems with each other or anything. Like, I really genuinely like this person. But at the end of the day, yeah, I was feeling a certain type of way. I mean, that's the only thing you can think if y'all ended up being together later on, whether y'all slept with each other one time and had a baby or 20 times and had a child. Regardless, I just think that there are certain people in your life you would never cross a line with. But, you know, I mean, I don't know.
So when choosing your significant other, whether it's in a relationship, do you say no to all of that? You can't have friends, or like you said, the friends that you today, I met you on, say, September the 1st. Everybody before them, that's your friends. Let's get this list together.
If you met them September 2nd, no, I'm just joking.
Then we ain't with each other.
In all honesty, I want a person to come into a relationship and be who they are.
Yes.
If you have friends of the opposite sex, I would like to meet them.
Of course.
But if there is somebody that I feel is waiting in the cut, or somebody that's just a little bit. So when you have friends of the opposite sex, they should do what you said earlier. There's now a boundary that themselves, they have to set within themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're used to knowing all his business and y'all are used to talking about everything. But when we're all sitting around a table together, don't be the most common one at the table, right? Hold back some of your thoughts and opinions.
Say that right there. That sounded good. Don't be the most common one at the table.
Because a lot of times what friends want to do is jump in to let you know how well they know the other
person.
And it's like, so then now there's an issue because now you're starting a battle between us.
Now you're starting to compete with him.
You're starting to compete with me and make sure that I know that you know him better, the guy that I'm dating better. That's when the issue comes into play.
That's good.
If you can be respectful of your friend.
Yes.
And myself and our relationship enough to not be that common and enough to learn there are some conversations you don't jump in on. There are some conversations that even if you do know the answer, you just kind of lay back. If I feel that you're respectful, I would love for you to be a part of what we have, because I never want to go into anything. And the first thing I do is say, let me give you a long list of everything you're about to cut. Because that's not realistic.
Yeah, no one wants that.
When you try to change somebody and when you try to cut everybody out of somebody's life, first of all, now you're asking me to be your God. I can't be there for you all the time.
Talk about it.
You need those friends.
Yes.
And then I'm changing you until I disappoint you. So you want people to change for themselves.
Totally.
Lateris, I have been in those relationships where I tried to change a man. And let me tell you, trying to keep a man changed is too difficult. And I think that's our natural instinct.
You said keep him changed, huh?
Yeah, because it's like you're trying to remind God. This is so funny. You're trying to constantly remind me. Remember, you ain't this person no more. And they're looking at you like, hell, I ain't. No. But again, when you're telling somebody what you want them to be and then they're changing for you, you're always going to disappoint them.
Yep.
When you disappoint them, they're going to go back to who they truly are at their core. People have to change on their own. I mean, and same thing goes for ourselves. So when I'm in a relationship, I have guy friends. And I'm actually, I would say, I don't talk to them on the phone, but with the exception of like one, I'm really cool with all my exes. Again, we don't talk on the phone or anything, but if I saw them out,
there ain't gonna be no bad blood.
Yeah, it ain't nothing like that. I have guy friends that I talk to right now, including yourself. But when I get into a relationship, I set the boundary. I don't want anybody to have to set the boundary for me.
Right.
If whatever the conversation I'm having with my friend who is of the opposite sex, if I cannot have it with my man sitting right there, then I know that this is awkward, right? This is, okay, these are probably, and again, we're talking about innocent conversations. Like,
but would you answer why he's around?
Depending on who it is.
What do you mean, depending on who it is? Would you answer the phone if one of your exes called? Like you said, y'all don't typically talk on the phone, but if y'all were, I mean, no, if he did call and you were around your boyfriend, fiance, a husband, and he called, would you answer?
Yes, because if I didn't answer, that it's means that there's something wrong.
Exactly.
But that is why I want to be in a relationship with the man that when I say, that was weird, like, I ain't talked to him in forever.
Yes,
or when I am having that conversation, he's secure enough, not within himself, but within who he knows he's in a relationship with.
There it is.
To say, okay, that's what's up or whatever. And even if he has a couple questions, do y'all talk very often? No, I mean, I haven't talked to him in forever and whatever. And if at that time, I would like for him, if he has a problem with it, to respectfully, now let's have a conversation.
Right then and there, and not let's build up animosity.
Yeah, let's say it is okay for him to say, you know, that kind of made me feel.
Yes.
Tell me how you felt. Don't tell me when you're mad. And let's talk about it. And either I can say, well, I completely understand that. Or I can say, well, I'm sorry. You know, because I've been in a relationship before, Latera. And this is why this is such a sticky subject. Yeah. And it doesn't have a definite yes or no.
Right.
Where I changed my phone number. Because I did not want for somebody from my past to pop up. Because I knew who I was dating.
And you I knew ahead of time that you needed to change your number for that.
I knew that if no matter who it was, it could be an old coworker that was, I'll just put it this way, definitely not my type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was a male, it was going to be an issue. And that was one thing I didn't want to sit up at night and worry about somebody. You know, people are so used to me being single.
Yes.
That there's not a lot of boundaries right now. Yeah. So then, I mean, it's not like you send out this mass text when you get into a relationship.
I'm in a relationship.
Yeah, please don't call me.
don't call me after 9:59.
And that is what we have to be realistic about when we're in relationships. Those random calls will pop up, but do you truly trust the character of the person you're in a relationship with to tell you what the truth is? And most of the time when we have issues, Lateris, it is because we get into relationships with people and we question their character.
There it is.
And we do it a lot. I am so guilty of it. I have done it so many times. And this is why I always tell people, the reality is I'm a bad picker. I am. My picker is off. Like, it's just, I don't know what the heck it is, but my picker is definitely off.
Why do you feel like that? So you, are you picking people that you know? I had an episode called Preference Versus Purpose. Do you normally choose by preference based upon looks and all the other stuff, or
I wouldn't even say it's looks. I would say it's more of, but I definitely think I pick out a preference. I think it's more of a vibe, you know, but there's nowhere in the Bible that God ever tells you to make a decision based off of emotions, like ever. Like, please somebody find me the scripture. But I have been told by a pastor that there is not one scripture that says, you know, when you are feeling emotions, this is the decision that you make. I'm not saying that there's not a level of attraction, but it's not based off. Yeah. So you get into these situations and there's a vibe. And so now you start to like going off that vibe as opposed to, and you will force purpose.
You
will
sure
be
will.
Like, well, he did tell me, I did hear him say his grace. Okay.
He did say his grace.
He does pray over our food.
He did say he used to go to church.
Yeah, he used to go to church, but you know what I'm saying? Or he will send me prayers via text from somebody, you know, some mass text thing he gets or whatever.
Oh, God.
But on the flip side of that, I've also had guys that know how much I love the Lord.
And use that as the bait you in.
Latera's has happened to me a few times. And
what did they say, TJ?
I mean, guys will get very spiritual. I'll just put it that way. And, you know,
Have they ever got so spiritual that they said, God told me that you're my wife?
Yes. Of course. Yeah, because, and I'll be like.
And you're the wrong person to say that to.
You already know. Look, Latera's will call me with some, God told me. I'll be like, Latera's, get off my phone. Because all you were picking, what you were going to eat this afternoon, sir. God didn't tell you to go to Golden Chick. God didn't tell you. I'll be like, oh, Lord. But seriously, I've had guys that, and I believe that their intentions about seeking Christ were.
Genuine.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But I think that it was definitely blown out of proportion.
Because they had you as a goal and not God.
Yes. And I've had guys that when the relationship was ending, it would be sending, I cannot make this up.
Go ahead.
Sending me pictures of them reading the word, getting their, saying, telling me, telling me that they're getting their life back, refocused with God, writing scriptures on their hand and sending me pictures of the scriptures on their hand. And I mean, you know, my Lateris. I know. It's so then now I struggle.
We're trying to find whether or not that's genuine or not. And now you're a little skeptical when guys come at you like that.
But I think we know, because I think it's not what they say, it's what they
what
do.
What they do. Yes.
And
the words and their actions have to line up.
Yes. I mean, I have you're making me think of a whole bunch of other topics we can go in on, but we're not going to for sake of time. But I got to come back for another podcast because I have some questions for you and men. Seriously. And it is along the lines of the thing of, do guys really make time for what they want? Because a lot of guys claim that they're so busy,
yes,
or have all of these excuses, and their words and their actions never meet up. And you're like, well, maybe they really are busy, because you know me, Lateris.
You're
I'm busy.
You.
I don't.
It's hard to get on your schedule to actually come and do this.
Yeah, like I don't. It's like I never sleep. I always have something going on. Y'all know I'm half Jamaican, so I got like
16 jobs.
Okay,
16 jobs.
So I'm like
16 jobs and 25.
Okay,
incomes.
Are you done?
And 25 incomes. I don't know how you do that. Have 16 jobs and 25 incomes.
Yeah, because I'm interning for a lot of these folks. I do a lot of things for people for free. But okay, but anyways, I was getting off the topic, but we're gonna have to talk about that one day.
Yeah, that is an interesting subject matter, because the short answer is yes. Just like you will make time, hopefully, you'll make time for that thing that is important to you.
Okay.
All don't right. you? Even though you have 50 million jobs, if you met somebody right now that just piqued your interest and you just was like, oh my God, if he called you up, you would make time for him.
Even
on the day that you may have had everything planned, even if it was like, hey, we can go grab lunch for about an hour.
Yeah, I would. I would agree with that. But then I go in the thing of, well, I'm a woman. You know, men don't really. So anyways, we won't even get in on that.
I'm a woman. Men don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Jay, are you interested in getting in a relationship? Are you interested in remarrying?
Oh.
It brings anxiety just the thought of it.
Yeah, it does. I am interested in getting into a relationship. I am interested in being married one day, because I don't want to let my failed marriage keep me from experiencing what God has for me. But on the flip side of that, like, it does bring me anxiety, because, you know, you get to a point where you're tired of failing at it, or you're tired of picking wrong, not really knowing. God, they be like, well, let God pick for you. And I'm just like, well, I wish God would like literally just come down here and be like, here, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, I mean,
we say that crazy stuff as Christians, let God pick for us. What does that really look like? I mean, if we're totally honest.
Well, clearly, I ain't never let God pick, so I don't really know. I thought I was letting God pick, but clearly he was not. So I can't answer that question. That is something I've never experienced. Sometimes I feel like if it were in my face, I now this is me accepting responsibility.
Let's talk about
it. I will find fault. I will get annoyed easy. I get annoyed easy. I get you laugh me, because
Kayla,
you know me.
Yeah,
because
me and Kayla was talking to you one day after that event, and we just like, God, Jay just be so hard on people. My God.
Okay, yes, it's very true. They think that I'm such a guy. They think
you are. You a dude. You a straight up dude. I ain't never met a prettier dude. Made me want to be gay because you're a pretty dude. Or a pretty dude.
Shut up. But I am, y'all got to understand, and what I do for a living, I'm around guys all the time. I hear the stories. I've seen it all. You know what I mean? So it makes you jaded.
Yeah.
It really, truly does. Like the host of our show, she was a little bit older when she got married. And she says the same thing. She's like, Jay, it's tough for us.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Of who we're around every single day, what we do. It's hard, number one, for people to understand that you got to find somebody that's super secure with what we do for a living. And we see and hear all this. Like, we see it firsthand. So it's not somebody telling us.
Yeah, y'all see.
We see the trifle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, is like we're skeptical about every freaking thing. Yeah. And also, people are going to get mad at me. Men are going to get mad at me for making this statement. I have often found, I'm not saying this is across the board, so y'all don't DM me, cuss me out. But I have honestly often found that the more successful you are as a woman, it is really harder for a man to choose you.
Oh, yeah. That's I think men would agree with that.
And I don't understand it. It's like you work your whole life and you get your own because you don't want a man to think. I don't ever want a man to think.
You don't need him?
No. I don't ever want a man to think that I'm getting into this relationship for what he can do for me. I want it to be where we're doing for each other. But guys have a tendency. I don't know if it's y'all's need to be needed.
It is. It's 100% that. That's what I was going to tell you. I said that when a male gets into a relationship, and we're trained like this from the very beginning, is to go out. Provide, go make a living for that wife. That's why you see men in the NFL. They're hustling to go get that big contract or career minded men. They go get that to go get the nice cars, the nice money, the nice house to then be able to afford the caliber of wife that you want.
But what is the caliber? Because the caliber, if you're affording a wife, you're not necessarily going out and choosing the wife that has her stuff together.
And that's the problem. So that's why I say it's a disconnect between the male and female counterparts. That's why you see shows like Housewives of Atlanta and all these shows, because we're what's marketed so much is the materialistic side of relationships. You see that all the time. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, you hear a girl say, oh, he bought me this. He bought me that.
Okay. So pause right there. Because, ladies, if y'all know how to make that happen. Send your girl the formula, because for some reason, no, I'm just joking.
Jay, you know, you've been taken care of.
No, I really have not.
You've experienced some nice things in life.
Yes, I definitely have. I was in a relationship, but I think I broke his spirit. This is a guy that obviously could afford to buy things. I think I broke his spirit because, in a sense, I would always say, stop buying me stuff. Instead of me being grateful for when he would get me things. Because my mind was like, I don't want you to think that this is why I'm here. So instead of me
welcoming it, letting him love you the way he wants to love you.
Yeah, I wasn't used to anybody doing those things for me. I was used to being the one to buy the gifts and be a catch. And now he's everything that I used to. So it really kind of made me feel like, so I would kind of reject it. Not that I don't still have the bags, but I'm just saying, instead of me being like so grateful. And again, this is me taking accountability and being like, oh my God, thank you so much. I was like, why did you do this?
But in your defense, you were still young.
I was
you were very, very young. So,
because if anybody does that now,
you're going to be like, thank you.
What?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be like, oh my God.
So would you take the gifts? Like, are you the type that you'd be like, nah, I don't want to take the gifts because I don't want him having any expectation if you're not interested in them or whatever?
Oh, no. I don't think I would take anything from anybody I'm not interested in. I don't believe in leading anybody on. Now, if you know where we stand and you decided to do something for me.
You'll say thank you. That's my blessing. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, because that is some other people's love language. But yes. I haven't had that experience. You know what I mean? Like, I don't experience that. I don't be having.
And that's why I say I don't understand that. I don't understand how you don't have guys because of the circle that you're in, that guys, you're around a lot of affluent guys that they don't even try that as the approach, you know, sending you stuff up to the station and trying to, you know, wine and dine you and say, here, I'm going to go send you some Christian Louboutins. And here it is. Just letting you know, I'm taking interest in you. Here's a Gucci purse.
You know. I don't know why either. I mean, the affluent guys that I have come across to me are very selfish.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be, I have no idea about this world where these girls be getting these bags. It's like, I don't know, but I don't know, because a lot of them will say that they're not putting out for it.
That's a lie.
No,
I think initially they may start off. It may initially at the time you may talk to them, they may say that, but the next week they are.
No. I honestly believe that there are some guys out there that.
Is chasing girls, buying them stuff and getting nothing in return.
Yes, I believe that it happens. I absolutely.
Well, and I would say that yes, that happens, but it's going to be with an older type of guy that wants your company and your presence. Because yes. A guy at the same level, he's like, why does he have to do that? You know what I'm saying? And he knows you're not interested in him like that.
Yeah, and Instagram has kind of messed up everything because there's such easy access now.
Shoot, totally.
To these surface relationships.
Yeah.
So it's like, guys have so many options. I'm talking about every guy has options. I ain't even talking about the rich ones, the fine ones. Every guy has options. All you got to do is have a little bit of confidence. That's all you got to have. You ain't got to have a dime in your pocket. You have a little bit of confidence. Every guy has options right now. Because it's just, all you're doing is scrolling. It's just, this is why it makes life 10 times harder too. That's another thing you need to talk about.
With social media? The influence of social media?
Well, do you want to be in a relationship with somebody that is on social media? That is...
Yeah, I had a conversation with my homeboy the other day, and yeah.
Because I honestly don't. If somebody is all into social media, unless we kind of had like the same, unless we were both influencers for like the same type of thing.
That's how you make your money.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Look, when I look at a guy's page and a guy has like a bunch of selfies... I think a woman has an excuse because when you're single, you're by yourself. You ain't got nobody else to take the pictures for you. And we like to see when our makeup is popping and our outfit is popping. So a lot of people say, well, I really don't feel like I have that many selfies. Like when you look through my page, but obviously, yeah, I'm by myself. Like, I'm like, dang, my outfit is cute. I have to take a picture of myself.
Like you did right when you got here, you start taking some selfies.
This lighting is everything. I hope it ends up being like this on the video. But no,
it is. It's gonna be dope.
But men like that take a bunch of selfies and stuff like that. That's a red flag. I'd be like,
oh. It's a red flag. At what point that you? That,
I think that's that weird for guys to take selfies. Like, I don't know. I don't. Ooh, God. Okay. Let's get on back on what we're talking about because people gonna get mad. I just think for guys to take a lot of selfies is weird because girls usually switch up their hair, their makeup, their outfit, their something. Like you be the same person in every picture, and I'm like. I just think that is kind of a type of feminine thing to do. I don't really know too many guys that just love taking pictures.
Yeah, no.
Unless they're, you know, kind of very much into themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think women do it because it's just like a girly thing to do. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I've been taking pictures my whole life, you know? Like, I don't know. Okay, but anyways. See, this is me and Lateris.
We're still on the phone for hours just talking.
This is why I don't answer Lateris's phone calls. Because I know if I talk to Lateris, I have to literally say, it's about 3 hours. And this is why I could never have him as a friend if I'm in a relationship. Because Lateris
broken up on.
What? Lateris don't know how to hang up.
So you're saying you're open to a relationship. You want to be married. You desire to be married again.
Yeah, but to the right person. And somebody... who is genuinely, like, it's certain qualities I look for now that I didn't look for before.
Good.
But, like, I really want somebody who is kind. Like, not just kind to me. Yeah. There's something about, and it's funny, me and Didi, that is the host of the morning show that I'm on, she and I had this conversation because I couldn't put into words what I was looking for. And when she said the word kind, I was like, that's it. A kind-hearted person puts others before themselves.
Yep, yep.
And I don't want you to just put me before yourself. I really want, obviously with some boundaries, because we're not going to talk about you keep putting your mama before our relationship. That's a whole nother topic. What you mean you got to go get your mama some money? You just gave somebody. You already know. That's how it be. You just gave. Okay. Okay. Anyway. Yeah,
you got to call the mama. Mama, now hold on now. You looking like the other woman right now.
Okay. Yes.
You haven't had these problems.
You know, we can have these relationship conversations all day.
All day.
But
so
yeah,
he has to be kind.
I want somebody who literally is purely a kind-hearted person. You know, I've always kind of been attracted to the bad boy.
Yes, you have.
And.
Yes, you have.
I heard you.
Yes, you have. I'm trying to make sure this microphone works.
Okay, cut his mic off. Somebody. For life. And what you want and what you need are two different things.
So when you looked at the bad boys, what was it that attracted you to them?
I think it was like That's a really great question. I know what it is. I know what it is. I just don't know how to put it into words. Like, a bad boy is like, there's a, it's fun.
And unpredictable.
I don't really think I like
unpredictability.
Yeah, because I'm very big on consistency. But spontaneity is good. I'm pretty much a like I'm not a very spontaneous person. I'm like, my life is planned out. I play it safe. You know, I like I'm down here. So I love being around people that are spontaneous, that will pull me out of my introverted shell. Even though people don't believe I'm an introvert. They sure don't. But I really am.
Yeah, you're kind of a loner.
Yes, I am a loner.
Yeah.
And because of what I do for a living, people don't believe that.
Yeah.
But I like people to pull me out of that. And usually a bad boy will pull you out of that. Right?
Yeah, everything.
Okay. I'll pull you out of what? Pull you out of the club. So that is what, because me being with somebody who's like super low key, kind of like I am, that's not going to work.
No. Y'all just be sitting in the room looking at each other. It'd be like, on y'all phones.
What you want to do? What you want to do?
Why are you taking selfies? He looking at you taking selfies.
Shut up, Terry. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Well, I want to touch on this before we get off.
Okay.
One thing that I admire about you is that you have been taking the work seeking counseling.
Yeah.
Tell me, why was that important for you? Because I want to encourage people that when you're dealing with brokenness in your life, dealing with hurts, habits, and hangups, that it's always good to go get counseling. And a lot of people in our community don't take advantage of counseling.
Yeah.
And why was this important for you?
Because I had to realize that it's not everybody else is not the problem. And when I say a problem, like, everybody thinks when you go to counseling or therapy that something is wrong with you.
Right.
Right. There has to be, it doesn't have to always be a chemical imbalance. It doesn't have to always be trauma that happened in your life. And what's crazy about our life is that there are some traumatic situations that have happened.
Yes.
But we don't even know that those were abnormal traumatic situations that we were in. You know, I guess people only think that you have trust issues and stuff, like if you were, you know, unfortunately molested as a child or abused as a child, or, and those situations obviously, you know, come
do
with
impact
their,
your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there are small things that can impact your life. Like, I use this example all the time. It's so crazy. I can remember my brother's friends. I've always worn bangs my whole life, right? And this is just something that's small, so silly. But I remember pulling my hair back, all my hair back one weekend. I was like, Mom, I want to change my hair. And she was like, well, you just practice. You got to get used to looking at yourself. I pulled all my hair back into a ponytail, and I was walking around like that for the weekend when my brother and his four best friends came over. And as soon as they walked in the door, Laterris, they were like, dang, look at your forehead. Your forehead is so big. Oh my God. Like, they were going crazy. And like, it was, you know, I mean, I'm used to, like, when you got brothers and stuff like that, it's nothing. It's all good. But I didn't even realize. So I just went back to my normal hairstyle. No big deal. Well, I noticed when I went to college, the first time I got my hair braided in cornrows, I told them to keep my Chinese bangs. I was looking like an idiot. Okay. But I didn't realize that something from years before when I was in the sixth grade affected me when I was in, like, developed an insecurity in me. And this is a silly example.
No,
it's
a good example.
But I'm just saying that there are things, somebody could say something to you in the second grade and you will forever be looking in the mirror or making sure that that thing isn't showing. Somebody could say something to you in the ninth grade and, like, for the rest of your life, you're overly paranoid. You'll start liking a boy, you start liking a girl, and you're saying, oh my God, are they seeing this on me? Yeah. Do they see, oh, I'm not shaped like the other girls, I'm not, you know, just all these things, all these insecurities just start playing in your mind and you lose your self-value.
Yes.
And so I had to seek counseling to say, why do I think the way that I think? You know, it could be things that have happened in the home. I didn't realize that there were certain things that I did in my marriage. It was because seeking acceptance was me seeking acceptance from my father, but I was doing it in my marriage, right? Because my father's Jamaican. He's the type of person that's always like, good job, but it was like nothing was ever good enough. So it was like trying to live up to that
expectation.
You want to be perfect so nobody can say, oh, but you need to at the end, right? And I think that that's how I've been my entire life is, you know, trying to make sure I'm not making very many mistakes and this and that. And it's just caused me to be in this bubble I don't need to be in, an unrealistic bubble that causes me not to be as free as I should be. So I had to realize that. I had to go to counseling, therapy, and I enjoy talking about it because I wish that the conversation was normalized for me when I was younger.
Yes.
My parents went to marriage counseling when I was younger, and I was so embarrassed. I was really? So embarrassed.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about that at all. Because
if people found out, they'll be like, what's wrong with your family? What y'all, you know, they'll make it like something was wrong with us. I was I didn't want anybody to know. And so I went to marriage counseling, and I think that's why our marriage lasted as long as it did.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I wanted to go back. I stopped for a while, to be honest, because once I was out of my marriage, I kind of felt like, well, shoot, let me just go live my life again.
Yep.
Well, then I started realizing, like, I was bringing some of
that stuff into your new life.
Yes. And I'm like, who have I become?
Yes.
And I think that that's very important, is that we have to be self-aware. And this is why I don't like people feeling sorry for me. I want to be self-aware. I want to know the areas that I need to work on. And I sought, at first I was seeking Christian counseling, which was great for me at the time. Then I needed more.
Yeah.
So now I have a therapist who is more of like a clinical therapist, yes. I guess is the terminology. But she is a Christian as well, but she is helping me to understand my brain.
There it is.
And so, yes, Christian therapy was great, but there's only so many scriptures you can give me. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into this is why you think the way you think. This is why you respond to these type of things, because there's a part of your brain that is over heightened and oversensitive because of X, Y, Z, right?
Right.
And so that's what's been great for me. And I encourage everybody to seek out counseling. Your friends and your family ain't it.
They're not it. And so I definitely appreciate that. I know you always promote that, not only just during Mental Health Awareness Month, but you're very transparent about that. And I know going through that process, you're going to be awesome. You're going to be great. And thank you so much for joining us on the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Give it up for my homie, Jay, a.k.a. Lady Jay.
Hey. Clap it up, everybody.
Man, I really enjoyed having this conversation with Lady Jade. I mean, hanging out with my girl is always a good time. She's an absolute nut, and I love chopping it up with her. But talking about this subject matter really brought something back to my remembrance. I had a conversation with my ex-wife while we were married, and she said, Lateris, I don't fear that you'll have an affair on me with some random chick. During that time, I was touring across the country with plays all across the U.S. And she said, I don't have a fear of you cheating on me with some random woman like that. My fear is, well, actually, she didn't say fear. She says, I know that if you cheat on me, it's going to be with one of your female friends. And I looked at her and I was like, you know what? You're right. So, you know, I know this is a really touchy subject. One of the things that I did take away from that marriage is where I failed and opened up the door for infidelity is I, instead of safeguarding my marriage, I started safeguarding that friendship, and I started valuing the friendship with the opposite sex more than the vows that I took with my wife. And I started holding secrets. I started walking out the room during conversations and sitting in the car before I walked in the house. And once you start keeping secrets and start having those inappropriate conversations while you're in a marriage or a relationship, then clearly that opens up the door for infidelity. And so that's one of the things that I know going forward that I will not do, that I will not have inappropriate conversations with my female friends while I'm married and in a relationship. That's just totally, you know, just totally unacceptable. So, and to make sure that I set boundaries in that friendship and boundaries that my future wife is cool with. So that's one of the things I'm going to make sure that I do. But here's the part of the podcast where I manifest my future wife. Dear future wifey, I value my friendships with my female friends, and I pray you're able to trust my ability to fireproof our marriage. I desire absolute trust with you. If you have male friends in your life, I pray you're able to set boundaries so it doesn't impede on our love. Never allow external relationships to jeopardize our covenant. I truly desire to marry my best friend. You are my best friend. You will be the smartest one in the room about me. If anyone gives you information about me, it will only serve as confirmation because you will know me through and through. I will happily study you like a crucial exam that determines my future. However, it won't be a one-off exam that I can cram to get the license. You will be my continuing education course that only ends after taking my last breath. Your future hubby.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.